Blog Talk Radio.
Keane, one strike away. Sandy into his windup. Here's the pitch. Swung out and missed. A perfect game.
That's my cue to start the show. Welcome to another edition of the Hard Rocket Sports Show, live from High Atop Hard Rocket Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We are your three-hour weekly get-together. We bring you all the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, of course, the wide world of sports. And guys, welcome to Thursday night, August the 11th, in the year of our Lord 2022. I hope you guys have had a great couple of weeks. Yes, that's right, your beloved show after our anniversary of 550 shows. I needed to take a week off last week. I had a late day, and I was just flat out exhausted. And I apologize to Jeff and my dad and all the gang and all of you who are here every week, and thank you very much for doing that. But I needed a break. I just have worn myself down to the nub. So, I needed a break. So, guys, we got the break. I hope you guys had a couple of good weeks. It's been a very crazy couple of weeks. The weather's been really hot here in the Northeast. We got lots of good sports stories and all that good stuff. And, of course, we got raids of the president, and we got the inflation, and we got all the big numbers from our commander and dunce himself, the first moron, the first lady, and the whole crowd and Hunter. They're all on the plane, what I like to call the getaway. But I have to tell you, folks, if you don't see the train coming, and they've officially gone after a president, raided his home in the middle of the night. If you're not seeing the craziness that I'm seeing, then we're all on different pages, because I want to keep this off the air, so I'm waiting. I'm going to wait. Bring Jeff on in a second, but I really don't want to make this part of the show. But Obama left office, he took 33 million pieces of paper with him. 33 million. Nobody's raided his home. He was supposed to put that online and return it. Hasn't done it. 33 million. Your girl Hillary broke up phones and bleach bit her computers and erased and shredded a whole bunch of emails. I don't see anybody raiding her home. It's just amazing how it just seems to happen to one guy. Really funny. But you know what? For all of you guys who hate Trump, I get it. But if you're not paying attention, the government's getting away with a lot of stuff. So I hope you're all paying attention out there. I really do. I had to get that off my chest. Let's get to some sports. We got plenty to talk about tonight. Show 551. Jeff and I are back. We got football on the TV tonight. I'm watching. I got the Giants. We got Yankees, Mets. We got Kevin Durant. We got Ozzie and Tony Iommi. We got lots to do tonight. So let's kick the show off the only way I know how to do it. That's by bringing on my partner in crime, the sexiest man on his side of the screen, and the guy who throws the best barbecues I ever, Mr. Jeff Kalwinski. What's up, Hefe?
What's up, man?
How are you, pal?
Tired, bored.
You're bored?
Yeah.
Well, you should be all jacked up. You got the big show coming up in September. Oh, no. So is there problems on the horizon?
Please. You know what I mean?
All right.
There's always something going on with something.
I gotcha. It is what it is, I guess. I'll ask the one question. Is the show still on?
To the best of my knowledge, yes.
To the best of your knowledge. All right. I guess we'll have to accept that. And we'll, again, I think it's September 24th, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that is the target date.
That is the target date for Big Bash. Which band is it now? I forget which one. Is it the which Dimebag, right?
Yeah.
All right, so the Dimebag guys with Richie Holmes in the crowd get together, and they're going to do a show. I believe John Brulo's band, the Sabbath band, is also going to be playing alongside you guys, right?
Yeah, by the time September 24th comes, the Jets will be on their way to 3-0, while the Giants will be 0-4.
Well, before we get to that, I'm going to ask you right away. But, Jeff, let me ask you, listen, it's been 2 weeks, Jeff. How's your week been?
Difficult.
Difficult?
Difficult, yeah. Work sucks. I can't wait to retire.
Yeah, you and me both.
And, you know, it is what it is. Every day I go to work, every day I get more tired of fucking being there.
I couldn't agree with you more, my friend. I fight myself every morning sometimes, and the last couple of weeks have been really, really rough. I'm happy. You know, my job is doing well. There's no issues there. I'm just probably getting relied on a lot, so which is okay. You know, you can't complain when they're putting more responsibility on you. I believe I got a promotion. I don't. It's not come with any sort of a dollar figure attached to it, but.
It's not a promotion. All they did was give you more shit to do.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. But
yeah,
I work for.
You ain't taking home more. You didn't get promoted.
I got some good bosses, and I work with some good people, and we got a lot of stuff coming up. So lots of going on at work. So that's the good news. The bad news is it's beating the crap out of me, and I think it's between that and the heat. And we had a big shindig at my house last week for my stepdaughter's bridal shower. So it was. Having a kind of turned my house into a catering hall. So it's been a long week. But it is what it is. But Jeff, we're on here. We got a lot of sports to talk about. I do want to talk about the Jets. And I was at Giant practice one day last week. I got to go for about an hour. So I got to watch the Giants practice. And I've been following a lot of sports, a lot of football. But we'll get to get the Giants on the screen tonight. We got just run it down. Kevin Durant, Becton's out for the year. I'm curious to see what Jeff thinks of that. And the odd conversation had by Robert Saleh, Jeff's coach for the Jets. He's wearing his draft hat. Who basically said we need to feel bad for Mekhi Becton, and to me it's the typical. And this isn't just him. This is all coaches nowadays. You know, the day of the taskmaster coach, the Bill Parcells, you know, the Chuck Knowles, Tom Landry, the guys who, you know, pushed you and got the most out of you are over. we're into the coddling era of coaches, and that's just not your coach; it's all coaches.
Well, it's not. I think it's more the players' union has made it that way.
Well, I would agree with that to a certain extent, but you know what? Let me play. It's 1 minute long. I'd like you to see. I don't know if you saw this, but I want to play this. We'll talk a minute, then I want to get my dad on, and then we got plenty of time for football tonight. But let me play what Robert Saleh said about Mekhi Becton. Would you mind?
I'm going to see what he has to say.
Okay, hold on.
So I can decide for myself, because you're biased and one-sided against me. All right.
Okay, here you go.
We
why are you not seeing it? I know. Hold on.
The worst way imaginable. And Mekhi has walked in this building, and he has taken every single punch you can get from every which way. And he shows up, and he works his tail off, and he grinds every single day. He shows up to camp, and he's fighting to get himself back in shape. He's got videos of him vomiting, and people are throwing shade, and he's limping, and he's doing all those different things, and he's fighting for his family, for himself, for his teammates, for this organization.
Now, Jeff, here's my first problem with that. I get it. The guy's working his ass off, but there's a reason why he's so out of shape and not vomiting on the field, because he went the entire year last year and this off season, and he got himself to well over 400 pounds. So now he's trying to cram in the last month to lose weight and get himself into shape for camp. I'm not giving him credit for that.
Well, listen. First of all, it's his job.
Right. Agreed.
Okay, so he should show up in shape.
Yeah.
Second of all, if you were to go back in time
mm-hmm.
on this show, you'll see where I said that I did not like the idea of drafting a 370-pound man who's not done growing as of yet. Okay? I said that he was going to hit 400 pounds. That's exactly what happened. He hit 400 pounds. A 400-pound offensive lineman, there is no need for this in this world. You want to go wrestle at 400 pounds? That's one thing. You want to play NFL football at 400 pounds? There's no way that you can do it. You can't be agile enough. You can't be quick enough. I don't care how quick you think you are. And there's just no way that he can do it. And to me, personally,
mm-hmm.
I think that this is a blessing in disguise. Was it a bad pick? Evidently, yeah. Conditioning is bad. The man is, you know, unless he loses all of his weight and quickly, his career is going to be hindered. But on the flip side of this, it was a different kind of injury. It was a kneecap.
Oh, I'm not saying the guy's injury prone. There are injuries.
Oh, no, listen, I'm saying he's injury prone.
No,
he's injury prone.
No, but I'm saying this. I don't listen. When you're out of shape and you pull a hamstring or a quad, I'll blame you for those kind of injuries. You know that's something that you didn't handle properly. But when you're practicing and you get hit in a pile and you break a kneecap. You know, whoever. No, I get it. But I'm saying this, when you get hurt like that, there's very little you can do, you know, and
listen, I'm not saying that I'm not exonerating him and
right.
I'm not keeping all of the blame on him.
Okay.
All I'm saying is what's quite clear is that he is an injury prone player.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you may not want to call it that, but I'm calling it for what it is. This is one injury prone player, and this is not the kind of player that you want to build your team around. Now, he could be the greatest left tackle in NFL history when he plays. But when you've played one game in the last 2 years,
mm-hmm.
what it's going to be.
Yep.
So now you're talking about what happens now. They ain't picking up his 2024 option. That's not happening. So that is a first-round pick gone out the fucking window. You're not going to be able to trade him for anything because nobody's going to want to take him.
Right.
And he's going to end up being one of these picks. He's going to go to some fucked up team. You watch, like, all of a sudden he'll get picked up by Carolina
mm-hmm.
and he'll be there for a couple of weeks. He'll get cut. And then next thing you know, he's over there in Chicago and he got cut. And then now he's in Atlanta and he stays in Atlanta for a season. But now he's second string and he'll do the bounce around and just continue to go further down the depth chart.
Yeah.
You'll find out that he's driving a bus on Saturdays. And that's it. And that's his career.
No, listen, I would agree with you. I would think he's going to have a very hard time coming back from considering the fact he didn't play last year, considering the fact that he and the Giants looked like their drive is stalled out on the 4 or 5 or 6 yard line, a dropped first down pass to Kenny Golladay.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. was that?
A dropped pass by Kenny Golladay, which would have probably got them the first time, first down.
That's a shame right there. Yeah. Kenny Golladay. That is a waste, another fucking waste of talent in New York.
Well,
you know what?
Can't argue it.
I'm so hell-bent on ripping apart both these fucking teams.
Well, again, listen, it's a little early. I don't disagree. It's a little early, but, you know, listen, for both, what you can't have is a repeat of last year. So if you're the Giants, what you can't have is Kenny Golladay and dropping passes and being non-existent. You can't have Kadarius Toney out again, which he is. So there are things that are repeating itself from last year. And Mekhi Becton being out, you know, another season can't happen, but it is. So you're right, Jeff. There's a lot of things we could pick on. Again, we won't know what these teams truly are until game three or four.
Listen, I'm telling you right now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You may get your little pencil, write this shit down. You ain't going to have to wait till week three or four. It's happening now.
Okay.
Okay, Kadarius Toney is a waste. Golladay, I don't know why the Giants, they overreached and overspent on somebody that when you can't catch on in a team like the Detroit Lions.
Mm-hmm.
The New York Jets, there's a reason for that. There's a reason the New York Jets let fucking Geno Smith go. There's a reason that the fucking Detroit Lions didn't try to sign Golladay again. Because these players are not the players to build your team on. Okay? If they were, they would have been retained by those teams that we just mentioned.
Yep.
And they weren't. They were let go.
Yeah.
You know? And then when they go to another team, what makes you think that you're going to have the magic power to turn it around with this guy or that guy?
Yeah, but I'll give you the defense for I'll start with Gettleman. I understand your point, but okay. So you go into the offseason a couple of years ago. The Giants are hurting for an offensive line. They're okay. They draft whatever they could, but they go out there and they spend money on the best free agent available and draft Nate Solder. It doesn't work now. How much do you blame Gettleman? He went out and got the best offensive lineman available in free agency. Do you say he should have passed on it, or do you say, hey, you got to at least make a try? And the same thing with Golladay. Last 2 years ago, Golladay was the best receiver available. He went and got him, and everybody, all the pundits, everybody out there went, great job by the Giants. They've upgraded their receiving core. It hasn't worked out. How much do you blame the GM?
How come when you say that you say that he went after the best. Let's stick on Golladay for a while.
Sure.
Nate Solder already proved what he is.
No, right? I agree. And again, but at the moment, he was the best offensive lineman in that free agent class.
Yeah, and at the moment, the thing that you're forgetting to mention is just that Bill Parcells. Bill Belichick was done with him in New England and let him walk.
No, I agree. I agree with that.
That to me is telltale.
I would not disagree with that, because Bill Belichick has a tendency to release guys and guys who are big team players, captains, you know, big players on the team at a certain point, and those guys very rarely, if ever, go on and have to have better seasons somewhere else. So I would agree with you. If I see Bill Belichick releasing a guy, it should make me very, 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 very wary.
It should.
Agreed. So, I agree.
Right off the bat, he let him go. Just let him go. Golladay missed 7 games the year before. 7 games. And just because he had a good 9-game stretch or whatever the fuck it was,
mm-hmm.
you don't sign him based on 9 games. The guy's already showed that he missed half the season. And you don't sign him to the contract. So what is this, the third year that they got Golladay?
This would be second year. No, this year was his first year.
Last year was his first
year? Yes, yesterday was the first year, yep.
Oh, man. And Kadarius Toney. Come on, man.
Again, is it a stretch? Maybe. We're going to find out. If he doesn't improve, and here's the first thing. If you're not on the field, it don't matter. You can be the most talented guy in the whole world. If you're not playing, it don't matter. So, Jeff,
exactly.
I agree, when it comes to draft picks, I will hold the feet, the GM's feet to the fire. I will do it with Dave Gettleman, I'll do it with Joe Douglas, with any guy. When it comes to free agents, there's a little bit of leeway. You got to go, okay, we need an offensive lineman. We got to spend a few bucks. That's the best guy available. I'm going to take a shot. At some point, I got to put the onus on the player for not producing. But you're right. You know, now if there's 3 guys and you pick one, you know, now it's on you. It's on you a little bit more. But everybody would acknowledge at that point that those two guys were the most, were the best player available in free agency at that moment for that team to go after. And they went and got him, spent the money. You know what I'm saying? They didn't go for a B-level guy. They went for what they thought was an A-level guy.
Okay, so mistakes were made.
Right, 100%.
To coin your one of your favorite phrases, that's like being the tallest midget in the circus.
100%.
Doesn't mean that he gets to play on the fucking play center on the basketball team? Definitely not.
Nope, you're right.
Definitely not.
No,
and
agreed.
Today, like I said, all right, real quick, Solder,
yeah.
Let go by New England. Bill Belichick didn't even say goodbye, nothing. I think he just threw everything that he had in the locker out.
Yeah.
Didn't even deal with him after
yep.
that. Golladay. This is a player. If he was that good, and Detroit, who's constantly in a rebuild, could have either done one or two things. One, they would have traded him for something and get a couple draft picks.
Uh-huh.
Or two, they would have signed him and used him as a rebuild. They didn't do either.
I would agree with that 100%. Listen, I'm not gonna argue. I'm more on the Belichick one. I totally agree on the Detroit one. You know, Detroit has a habit of just letting guys go because they don't want to pay them. So
listen, they're not. You're right. They don't have the money. They don't have the
correct. Yeah,
finances come in. By the way, how you doing, John?
What's up, Johnny Mohebka? What's up, pal?
They don't have the money coming in like a big market team.
Right,
but. You're never going to get money coming in if you keep getting rid of players that are going to help you right now.
Jeff, I agree. I couldn't agree with you more. But I will question the player that the Detroit Lions release because you know it's not based on talent. It's based on, well, we can't pay him his next salary.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
The guy missed half.
No. But that hasn't been his problem with the Giants. The problem with the Giants has not been
–
he just has not made plays. There's a guy who – his big claim to fame was that he went and fought for the football. You know, he wins better than 50% of the fight for the football, and he scores touchdowns. And last year, he scored no touchdowns.
Yeah,
he had zero touchdowns.
That means nothing.
No, listen, I couldn't agree with you more. What I'm saying is, right now, I want to put that onus on Kenny Golladay, not on Dave Gettleman. Gettleman went out and said, I'm going to give a guy that is the premier receiver that's available. I'm going to pay him to come here and produce. When he doesn't produce, yeah, I'm responsible. I'm going to lose my job. But me personally, I want to put the onus on the player and say, hey, you need to do your job and come in here and earn your money. And when you don't, that's who needs to be held responsible.
Tom, I hear you, but the whole thing is simply this, okay? The Giants should have never signed the player because the player is injury prone, has already shown that. Then he comes to New York and he doesn't produce, okay? Now you're telling me that he missed a pass just now.
Yeah.
It's not looking good for him as it is.
Well, I mean, listen, it's the first pass in a preseason game. But Jeff, if he had come to New York and missed all of last year, I would agree with you. Or if he missed a good part of last year, I would agree with you. He didn't miss time. I mean, he might have missed a game or two.
Games.
Yeah, yeah. But his problem was he didn't make plays. So that's...
Of course, you know why he didn't make plays?
I have no idea.
I'll tell you why he didn't make plays. This is also on the general manager because he fucking drafted a quarterback that had three left arms.
I disagree with that totally.
And he's a right-handed fucking passer.
Well,
so when you got a quarterback like that, what are you going to do? The guy isn't up to the task.
Disagree.
As a receiver, you have to make the plays. You have to do what you got to do. You got to be in the position. That's all there is to it.
Absolutely.
You
have to. Now, again, I'm
John, he didn't. He didn't have a huge final season in Detroit, bro. He missed 7 games in Detroit or 9 games in Detroit.
Well, let's see his final year before we get. I want to get my dad on, but I want to see if John's right. Let's see what Kenny Golladay his season looked like going into free agency that year. Looking for. Where's the football reference website? That's the one I like using. Stats. All right, we'll go to this one. Let's see what it does in here. Hey, Leonard, how are you, buddy?
What's up, man?
So let's see. I want to see Kenny Galladay's career, not his line for the Giants. Does not give me that. That's not what I'm looking for. One more second, Pop. I'm going to get you on in a second. Don't go nowhere. Football. I'm looking for footballreference.com is really what I like. Oh, there it is. Okay, got it. Okay, here we go.
And Tom, this is his third year with the
No, this is his second year with the Giants. 21, 20, he was there. So, all right, Jeff. So, to your point, valid. Last year, missed three games. He played 14 games, 70s.
He scored two touchdowns in 2 years.
Correct. Now, the year before that, 16 games, he had 100. He had 65 catches for 1,200 yards and 11 touchdowns. So, I got you. You know, so the Giants went and said, "Oh, it's an anomaly. The guy got hurt, had a bad season, but he's talented." The year before that, 70 catches, 1,000 yards, 5 touchdowns. You know, the guy, you know, 2 years in a row produced. I could see where you'd spend the money to get the guy. That's all I'm saying. You know, at some point, it's got to be on Kenny Golladay to score, so to play big. Could it be a little bit of having to play with Daniel Jones in a bad offensive line? Sure, we'll give him that. But you know what? Let me get my dad on. Let's see what he's got to say. I don't want to keep him there forever. We'll come back to Kenny Golladay, the Giants, the Jets. The NFL preseason is upon us, folks. I got a lot of football for Jeff. I want to ask Jeff the magic question. Jeff, this has been bothering me for weeks. So I got to get it on the show. I'm going to ask you. You can't answer this now.
Okay.
What is the socially accepted number of slices of pizza that you can order when you go out?
Okay.
So you can't answer it now. There was a poll done. There's a difference between what people will eat out in public and eat behind the scenes. I want to know what Jeff thinks is the socially acceptable number of slices that you can go out and order when you're out.
We're going to answer this as soon as your dad gets off the phone.
As soon as we're off the phone with my dad. Yep, let's get my pops on and see what he's got to say. What's up, Pop? What's up, Dad?
Holding you up on that.
No,
not at all. Don't worry, but this is important shit.
this is what we do here.
I can see that.
What's up, Pop?
But I wanted to say, first of all, I'm not an NBA, but I want to commend the NBA for retiring Bill Russell's number.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that.
Every team.
Interesting. I did not see that. I think that's a good.
It was done today.
I think that's okay. Yeah. That's probably why. So that's actually a good move, I think, by the NBA. A lot of the younger fans probably wouldn't know who Bill Russell was. I did not see Bill Russell play. I probably saw him coach a little bit, but never really saw the guy play.
He
was a player coach for the Celtics at the end of his career.
And Seattle.
Seattle.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So yeah, it's a good job, buddy. It's a good job of celebrating their past. Yeah, I agree.
I thought he was the best basketball player that I saw. Okay. That I've seen play. I don't know anything before.
Well, I mean, if you put championships on the pedestal, I mean, the guy won 11 NBA championships, a gold medal, a couple of you won in college. So you know, if you're talking about a winner, that guy's a winner. So, I would tell you again, not having seen him play, I would also say he was more known that as a defensive player more than an offensive player, correct?
Well, no, not necessarily. It was that because he really wasn't a big, a strong guy like some of the other centers.
Right.
He was smaller, like a Wesley Unseld, Willis Reed, Will Chamberlain. Chamberlain with him were always competing. And he was just the best center that I ever saw. He could score when he wanted. But I agree with you. He was more of a defensive center.
You're saying he's not big. What, he wasn't that a tall guy?
He wasn't. I don't know if you've ever seen Wesley Unseld, Willis Reed play. These guys were like trucks. They look like the Mack trucks.
Well, Will Chamberlain was 7'1". Bill Russell was 6'10". So you're talking 3 inches there.
He wasn't. It's not that he was small. It's just that he didn't intimidate you. I never got the impression.
He had the frame. Probably tall and lanky.
Right. Exactly right. But I tell you what, Tommy. I said it last a couple of weeks ago. I'm a little worried about the...
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. Yeah, they're on Channel 4.
I'm not on air, right?
No.
Thank you, honey.
Sorry, my wife showed me her Giant jersey. She's watching the Giant game.
Okay. I'm worried with the Yankees.
For a good reason.
And the problem is they're a home run hitting team.
Oh, they're back to what we didn't want. Near the beginning of the season, they were scoring runs all over the place by running the bases well, getting big hits, singles, doubles. Now they're back to relying on the three-run homer. And here's what I'm going to blame this all on Aaron Boone right now. And you tell me if I'm wrong. The problem with the Yankees is they run themselves out of an inning. He kind of just shakes his head, and he makes excuses for the players. You know, Joey Gallo spends 2 months, 3 months swinging at pitches, striking out. He makes excuses. There is no accountability at all. And he does nothing to try and manufacture runs. There's just nothing there.
That's if you believe that he runs the team. I really personally don't think he runs.
You're not the only person.
He's given the, what do you call, lineup. He plays it. They come in. And I'm not saying he's not in charge in the dugout. But most home run hitters, I don't say all, but most home run hitters are streak hitters. They'll go into 2 weeks.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, Rizzo's that guy. Yeah.
Any kind of decent pitching, which they're facing now.
Yeah.
And they look terrible.
Well, again, they were facing good pitching. Then the problem was they were getting hits. They were finding the gaps. They were running the bases. But the big thing for me has been the pitching. The bullpen's been bad, and their starting pitching has been okay. It hasn't been good.
Yeah, but let me
ask you, go ahead, Jeff. I'm sorry.
With everything that's going on now with them and the way they were playing,
right,
wouldn't you rather them go through this now in August?
100%.
And then 2 months to right the ship.
100%, Jeff. 100%.
Going into the playoffs to maybe regain
that's if you believe that these guys, who are the real guys we're looking at?
Well,
the team
remember in 98, they went into September. They had, I think, 90 wins in September going in, and they were brutal in September. I mean, they lost three quarters of their games. They still wound up winning 100 and something games, all right? But they were brutal going into September. I mean, absolutely just terrible. And they still wound up winning 114 games, and they turned it on. And even the first round of the playoffs, they were okay. It wasn't until the Cleveland series and the game with El Duque that they actually turned things around a little bit. So I agree with Jeff. If you're going to have a bad spell, have it now. Doesn't mean that you're going to turn it around. I agree with you.
But that's if you believe that what they were showing before wasn't freakish.
Of course.
They won't change it because their bullpen is coming down to earth.
Yes, 100%.
You knew that book, you know, and I just, it worries me because good pitching will almost always be good hitting. I don't care what anybody says. Look at the records, and you'll see it.
Oh, no,
good
listen.
Pitching.
Even if they turn it around right now.
The Mets made them look like children. They look terrible.
I agree with you. I think the Mets have, and I told this to friends, I told this to Carmen a couple of weeks ago on the show, that I think the Mets are built better for October than the Yankees are. They don't rely on the home run. They got one guy who hits home runs consistently. They play decent defense, not great, but decent defense, and they pitch. The bullpen's been okay in the back half, and their starting rotation's as good as anybody's. So, you know, I mean, but again, are you peaking too fast? There is such a thing, and Jeff's right. Nobody goes through the season, you know, playing this good all the way through. You're going to have a peak in a valley. And the Yankees are having this now, and we'll see.
I hope so.
They'll make the playoffs. It's going to come down to
make the playoffs.
Yeah, it's going to come down to, you know, Stanton being healthy and being active, and same thing with Stanton. I mean with Judge, and you know, Benintendi's got to hit better, and they got to get pitching. If they pitch, and they'll be okay, but we'll see.
And to answer your question, Tom,
yep,
I think two slices are good.
Okay, socially acceptable.
Okay. That's my pick.
All right.
Jeff, maybe you, but generally as a rule, when we used to go out, it was always two slices.
I'll defer to my comments left, but I appreciate that's the second one.
I just want to hear what Jeff says. before I sign off.
All right, so
let's go through it now.
Go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead. Why not? Sure.
Right, well, honestly, it depends. There's a couple different variables for me.
Go ahead.
I go into the pizzeria anticipating for lunch two slices.
Okay.
If pizza's good or the pizza is thin, then I could get a third slice.
Okay.
Okay. But that's if the pizza's thin, then there's going to be.
But is that because the two slices is in, but are you ordering the two slices because that is the socially acceptable thing, or is it because you just normally eat two slices? Because if you're home and you order a pie with you and your wife, are you having more than two slices?
Well, one, my wife doesn't eat pizza. She doesn't eat cheese
because
she's got problems with dairy. Killing a pizza for dinner.
Okay, so.
Eat an entire pizza. I won't.
Right.
Health issues.
Of course. Agreed.
The whole pizza so I don't die of a stroke or a heart attack. But I can polish off a pizza, no problem.
But so it's more the, would you say when you went to the counter and you ordered your pizza at the thing, it's more, I don't want to look like a glutton, so let me just order two slices.
No, I don't care about that at all because if the slices are small,
I could
eat my first slice, start my second. And I'll just be like, throw another one in the oven for me.
Gotcha.
All right? Okay. And then there have been times where I've also gotten a chicken roll or something else with it.
Okay.
So I have no problem. I am fat. People know this. I'm not hiding this behind a slice of pizza. I thought it was to it.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting topic because I think most people, if you're eating pizza at home, you would maybe, I'm going to start with two, and if I'm still good, I'll have the third slice. But I don't think very many people are going into a pizzeria and ordering the third slice or the fourth slice.
Yeah, well, look at it this way. Look at this regular slice of pizza.
Go ahead.
It's a little bit bigger than a slice of bread, wouldn't you say?
See, Sharon's saying it too. I agree with you, Sharon. Go ahead. But go ahead. Yes, it's bigger than a piece of bread, yes.
A little bit bigger. You think if you flatten out a piece of bread and put it into the size of a slice of pizza, like most pieces, maybe like...
Okay.
A little bit bigger. Then you put a little cheese on it. But the point is if you're making a sandwich, sometimes you have more than one sandwich, which would mean four slices of bread.
Right.
Plus four cuts and cheese and whatever else you may put on there. So two slices of pizza aren't that much. It's not that big to fill somebody up. Two slices for lunch, okay, that's fine. But for dinner, and you know you ain't eating again till 6-7 o'clock the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
You eat at 6-7 o'clock at night, you're expected to go 12 hours on two slices of pizza?
I don't know what anybody's expected. I heard this conversation on the radio, and I said it's an interesting topic. You know, what do people find socially acceptable? They normally eat 3-4 slices at home, but yet when they're out in public, they'll only order the two. I just think it's an interesting, interesting topic.
I'm gonna let you guys go.
All right, Pops.
Remember when I called Uncle Bob?
yes, I do.
Did I find that socially acceptable? But I called him anyway. So I'm not going to a pizzeria to be socially acceptable. I'm going into a pizzeria to feed until I'm done eating.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, we'll accept that as your answer. Yeah. Thanks, Pops. I'll see you over the weekend.
All right,
that's my daddy checks every week. We got him involved in our pizza discussion. What do you guys think? Is two slices of pizza socially acceptable? Would you normally be in Gavone and eat 4 or 5 slices, but you're afraid to order more than two in public? That's a question.
I don't know if my wife, Sharon, are you still listening? Yes or no? Let's see what she says. Then we could question her. Because I've gone out to eat with her and seen her get one slice of pizza with a couple different toppings on the one slice of pizza. So I've never really seen her get.
Mm-hmm.
So okay, you're still there. So now, if you get one slice of pizza,
mm-hmm.
Russell Wilson pizza, right? If you get one slice of pizza and it has vegetables on it, because you like to get a vegetable pie, is that enough for you, or do you need two slices with vegetables on it? See what she says. She's going to say one slice with vegetables.
Yeah. Next week we'll get into the pineapple pizza territory, but. This week we'll just stick with pizza. We'll stick with pies.
Oh, there's no reason for that.
I would certainly agree with that. But so again, folks, if you're out there, throw it up on the screen. But you walk into a deli, you walk into a pizzeria, and you Will you order two slices based on the fact you don't want people to think you're a glutton? Because I guarantee you most people will eat more than two slices when they're home all by themselves or in the luxury of their house with their beautiful wives and girlfriends or husbands. And they'll be more acceptable eating the third or fourth slice. Public, though, they're trying to put that persona on and only ordering two.
So, in other words, you are still hungry when you leave the pizzeria after eating one slice. So you won't get another slice. So you'll go home and go to bed maybe or you'll maybe have a little snack at home, right? Tom, what about you? What is your go-to pizza order?
What do you mean? What kind of slice or how many slices?
No. You walk in the door.
Yeah.
Two slices, I don't feel like cooking. And you're like, well, I don't feel like going out to eat. It's late. I'm tired. I'm just hungry and tired.
Uh-huh.
What do you order? You're going to order pizza. She says, well, let's order pizza. What do you got?
It's one of two things. I would say I probably would prefer regular pie, half black olive. I love black olives on pizza.
Really?
Love it. Absolutely my favorite thing. I would say the norm for us, if we're going to order a pizza, because I do enjoy it more, and I'll probably only then I probably have one, maybe one and a half slices, is a nice Sicilian. A good Sicilian pie in a centerpiece, I'm in heaven.
And you only have one and a half slices of Sicilian?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely times I've had two, but the norm would be, you know, the last year is one full and then like a half a slice.
And I am a fat fuck.
Yeah,
I four or five fucking slices.
Yeah, no, believe me, I've had to. You listen, in past, I can eat two for sure and possibly go for a third. But much like yourself, I've learned to cut it back. So I'll have one for sure, and then if I'm still hungry, I might take a half, and then whatever's left over, I might take to work or I might take to give away somewhere else. But I might just wind up in the garbage.
Or what about a beverage with pizza?
I for the last few months, I've been strictly on a lot of water. Once in a blue moon, I have a ginger ale, zero sugar ginger ale. I have these little nips, I'll call them. In the old days, it would be a Pepsi with a slice, no doubt.
Wow, okay.
Daniel's was probably the most famous one in Rosebank, would you say, Jeff?
Daniel's was famous because you could get more than just pizza there.
Yes, you could definitely get more than pizza than Daniel's. I worked there for sure.
The guys that actually owned Daniel's at the time, they looked like a young version of Cheech and Chong.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, what was the one on the corner by your house? On the corner of St. Mary's Avenue. What was the name of that one?
Napoli Pizza.
There you go. That was a good pizza. The guy was insane, but that was good pizza.
That guy was a dick.
Yeah, that guy was insane.
I went in there. I got caught taking the tops off of the salt and the pepper, and I got caught because somebody came in and sat down at that table.
Did the whole?
Spices, yeah. And then the next time I went in there, they grabbed me.
Oh.
And they were like, hey. Grabbed me the right act.
I remember getting chased out of there. I remember me and Paul. We were sitting there having a slice. Or a pie, I'm not even sure what it was. And the phone rang, and I think Paul answered the phone, and the guy flipped out, was chasing us out with the pizza paddle. Get out! I'm my place of business! Get out!
Yeah, there was a lot of stories of people getting jumped.
We got chased out of that place a few times, so.
My on-air partner, my research and development team.
You have your research and development? There's Basil.
Yeah. Yeah, there she is.
Keeping a close eye on Basil, Jeff?
Yeah, I don't want her to walk off the bed.
That's a good thing. So, but all right, so again, folks, if you get a minute, throw it up on the page here. Let us know if you walk into the pizzeria, how many slices are you ordering? And is that your usual number, or are you a little socially awkward about ordering more than normal? Let me know. I
know we got a lot of things to go over tonight.
Yeah, but listen, go ahead.
But I got to ask for more food.
Okay, go ahead.
I know that barbecuing for you is a bit of a difficult procedure out here.
It is a little difficult for me to barbecue out here, yes.
But if you're barbecuing,
yep,
or you're eating barbecue or whatever the case is,
okay,
what would you normally have?
That's an easy one. So if we're barbecuing, let's say in the normal, I would probably make myself one hot dog and one hamburger.
Now, one and one.
Right. Now, I would probably queue up a couple extra hot dogs in case I was still hungry, I would say. But the norm would be one hot dog and one hamburger, one cheeseburger for myself.
Okay.
That would be the norm. Yourself?
Well, I obliterated fat fuck barriers with that, too. The other night, I had two burgers and two hot dogs. I think, and Sharon can maybe correct me if I'm wrong, I think I might have had three burgers and two hot dogs.
Yeah, listen, I mean, I'm sure in the past I've gone past that, but the norm for me. So let's say I was having people over and I make a bunch of burgers. You know, if I have a bunch of family over or friends, whatever, I'll barbecue a whole bunch of stuff. If I'm sitting there and nobody's eating and I want an extra burger, I think not this barbecue, your last barbecue, I think I wound up with two burgers and a hot dog before I left. It was so good.
Oh, well, I don't remember.
Yeah, I know you don't remember your barbecues very well because you have a tendency.
This one was pretty good.
I know you were hammered. You were definitely.
No, I wasn't that bad.
You weren't as bad as other times, but you were still hammered. But no, it was a great time. I had a blast. It was nice to hang out. I was getting stuck in so much freaking traffic and I had to go to a wake. Oh my! I wound up with a wake and a funeral like in a matter of days. Oh my God!
That's what a guest card's all about. You know?
Yeah, it's my boss. You got to do what you got to do for the boss. He's very good to me. My boss is so. Condolences to the family and. It was always a blast. It was good to see Paul and your wife and Julia and I got to talk to a little bit to Lisa and John. Your brother, the whole bit, did see your nephew out there. I hadn't seen him in a while.
Yeah. He I busted his balls for like 2 or 3 years. I'm like, your fucking mail comes to my house. Stop at my house for the barbecue.
Yeah.
He got dropped off. To his credit, he got dropped off, and he was there all night.
Oh, good.
He had 3 beers, and he hung out.
Good. Yeah. Surf Club Pizza Frankie Catalano was one of the best. Hey, if you went in the kitchen, you would never want to eat Surf Club Pizza. I worked at the Surf Club. I bartended for a little while. I would tell you, if you ever went in their kitchen, you would go, I am not eating here ever, ever. I wouldn't even want to drive by. But if you overlooked it, the pizza was the best. Absolutely some of the best pizza ever.
There's a lot of different businesses happening within the Surf Club at one time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, believe me, I know.
Watching powder was sold out of there.
There's a lot of stuff sold out of there.
Did you work there when the mute hung out there?
He was there, but he wasn't full time there. When I was there, I was there the last night. Huh?
He had a side business there.
Oh yeah. No, he would come in once in a while. It wasn't like where years before that he was the fixture at the door. And all of that. So no, I knew him. I saw him there, but it wasn't like years past. So, but I was there the last time.
I was going out with a girl a long time ago, right, from Rosebank.
Mm-hmm.
And our next door neighbor comes up to me and asks me, says, I'll buy you beer if you go and track this guy down for me. So I was like, what do you mean track this guy down? And she goes, well, it was her boyfriend who was married,
uh-huh.
But he was banging some other chick.
Okay.
So she wanted me to go down to the surf club,
mm-hmm.
Find him, see what he was doing, and then report back to her.
Okay.
So I was like, well, I says, you got to buy me the beer. I says, and have it here, wait for me. I says, and, you got to fuel me up when I'm there. I said, so you got to pay for my beer down there, too.
Uh-huh.
I said, I'll go down right now. I said, but, give me a couple bucks. And so she did. I went down there,
mm-hmm.
Went in, found him, stood like right next to him, ordered a beer, went in. There was still a payphone in the place, yes. Called her up. Called her. I'm like, yeah, listen, I'm looking right at him. He's about 3 feet away from me. And right now it seems he's alone. He's with some guys. And she's like, he's going to know you're there. He knows who you are. And I'm like, oh. You want a ninja? Oh, you're a ninja. Look like that.
Yeah.
Make sure that beer is there when I get back.
All Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom here on the Thursday night show 551 as we cruise into the middle of summer. Some people say the end of summer, but the middle of summer technically. And we're coming out of the heat waves and all that stuff. I hear the temp's supposed to drop. Yeah, you ain't kidding, boy. It takes the life out of you, I have to tell you. But we got football on the screen. We got football coming up every week now, and we're doing a lot of that tonight. So hang in there. Thanks for stopping by. And make sure you keep coming back to the Hard Rock and Sports Show each Thursday night when Jeff and I get together. And sooner than later, I don't know exactly when, but the Sunday Audible show will be cranking up again. We'll be doing it, I think, on Saturdays. We're kind of waiting on Jeff's schedule to change around a little bit, but we'll be on soon enough. But right now we're talking pizza and all sorts of good stuff, so keep on checking in with us.
Well, let's leave that behind. You know what I want to talk about now?
Go ahead.
Deshaun Watson.
Ah, good topic. Go ahead.
And I'll tell you why I want to talk about Deshaun Watson.
Go ahead.
I've been quietly paying attention to this.
Uh-huh.
Of course. And the thing that gets me with all of this with Deshaun Watson is the one thing that nobody's mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All of these people that he's sexually harassed, the ongoing cases,
mm-hmm.
the cases that were settled, the cases that are still going to trial.
Yep.
The independent arbitrator, the six games, this, that, and the other thing. And the thing that nobody's mentioned is that it was all overseen by a woman. And the woman involved came up with six games. Now,
mm-hmm.
you gave the case to an independent arbitrator.
Right.
She said six games.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, the Sean Watson's people said, well, you know, we don't want to, they didn't want to rock the boat, so they said six games. We'll take the six games.
Oh, again, as compared to what they thought they were going to get, yeah, they were happy, tickle pink.
And then they turn around
mm-hmm.
and they wanted to the NFL to accept the penalty so that everybody's on the same page and we could move forward from there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just a question to you. What do you think about a woman hearing this case, reviewing the evidence, and coming down with a six-game ban, knowing the nature of the crime? What are your thoughts on that? Because nobody has mentioned that a woman is the one that levied the original penalty, which, to me, I would have thought maybe she would have went a little heavier.
Well, I was surprised she didn't go heavier. I would have thought she would at minimum give him eight games, at a minimum, I thought. It does not surprise me that as a woman she did what she did because I think that she has to be above the fact that she's a woman in hearing that case. So I think that's one. Two, I don't think if the penalty was stiff enough. I don't think that the NFL could possibly have let this. Now, I don't understand the procedure because the NFL puts it out to an independent, but if the NFL doesn't like it, they can appeal it, and the appeal can be heard by Roger Goodell. Now, I know he's handing it off to another guy, and I'm assuming that guy's going to look at this whole thing and give him more games, and the big thing is they want some money from his ass. But I think the whole thing's been a sham from the beginning, to be honest.
What is that going to do?
What do you mean?
Just what I mean.
They want to hit him in the pocketbook. Again, I don't know exactly what the benefit of taking his money from him, but don't forget, Jeff, the Browns and Deshaun Watson went through great lengths to hide his money. They assumed he was going to get cut. He was going to get games off this year. He'd lose money off his salary this year. So they only gave him $1 million for this year. So it was a big thing to Deshaun Watson and the Browns to hide his money.
So then what Deshaun Watson should have done was maybe make an under-the-table deal with the Cleveland Browns and say, well, listen, you want me? Well, but then again, he wasn't released. He had to be traded.
Correct.
Oh, okay, so he kind of had to make the deal. I was going to say make the deal with them and say, listen, you know, let's see what the penalty is, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Whatever. And they could probably still do that if the penalty was too stiff. Be like, we're going to renegotiate the deal because we want him for 7 years, and we're going to sign him to the league minimum this year, and then bang, we're going to end up, you know.
I agree with you. I think that would look really funny. If he got a full season suspension and $10 million fine, I'm just throwing numbers out. I think, and then they reworked his deal and added time on the end. Don't forget, if he's suspended for this year, which is what the NFL wants, his contract just moves 1 year ahead. You know what I'm saying? It's not like it's, it's over and done with. It's not a lost year. His contract is extended by one season.
Well, listen, I'm sure he doesn't care about that because, like you said, whatever the minimum was that they paid him, $1 million, whatever the fuck it was, he probably doesn't even care about that.
Probably not.
the next year the money starts.
Absolutely, sure.
But for him, I would have just thought that a woman coming down with a penalty of a, you know, for a penalty for a crime of that nature would have been a little bit more severe. Now, also, what is the point of hiring an independent?
Agreed. I agree with you on that. Yes.
Person
yes.
to not take their penalty and then be like, no, that's not right. No.
I couldn't agree. Listen, that part I agree with you on. I don't understand. That's why I said I don't understand the process, because if you're bringing this person in to do this, you know, and you disagree with them, maybe there's an arbitration thing you can have. But to me, why bother? My whole thing with this is this. I the way I see this, Jeff, is simple. He's still got a couple cases in front of him. They don't want him going to trial next year because he has not been able to make everything go away. They don't want him going to trial next year, not having this case, having this in front of him, him playing a full season, and then having to have the case in front of him, and let's say being found guilty in the civil penalty. You know, they don't want that. They want to have said, hey, we suspended him for a year. He's guilty. He's not guilty. We did our job. You know,
I think they should have done.
Go ahead.
Exactly what they should have done. Everything that's happened so far has been unacceptable. Okay?
I agree with that.
He was suspended or not even suspended. He didn't play for the year in Houston.
Right.
Okay? That's fine. What they should have done is the NFL should have suspended his rights as a player and suspended him like they do Josh Gordon all the time.
Right.
Okay. That's one thing, he's suspended. Until all of these are in the bed and everything is done, then we'll conduct our investigation and come up with our penalties.
Couldn't agree more.
So now if this takes a year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever the case is, that's how long it's going to take. So now you already have him paying people off.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, is there a crime in him paying people off? I don't know. I don't think so.
No, there's no crime in it, but it definitely makes it – it definitely doesn't give you the woman fuzzy that he had – nothing happened.
Of course. Then you turn around and you look at him and you say, okay – so now the state doesn't want to press anything against you.
Mm-hmm.
That they found you innocent, this, that, and the other thing. So where was the crime and everything else where an independent arbitrator also said six games and that's it?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you know, if now all of a sudden it's the NFL, what is it sense of sending this over to other people? Are they going to... A rule and supersede all, no matter what the case is. So suppose next time it's a drunk driving accident, or maybe an assault, or somebody gets accused of something that didn't happen.
Okay.
And the NFL says, well, we don't like that, so we're going to have to suspend them for a season and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And then what is the end all with all of this? What's acceptable? What's to say that it's not going to be a season and a half, two seasons? Now, don't get me wrong. It's a bad crime, heinous crime.
Yep.
He was involved with. I'll be the first one to agree. There's no room in today's society for a sex crime.
Right.
Of any nature. But if you're not found guilty in the court of law, if you're not found guilty by an arbitrator,
mm-hmm.
you know, what's the point? When does the NFL have to keep their hands off of it? You know what I mean?
No, I agree. I couldn't agree with you more. I don't know the answer. The problem is the NFL has a blanket morals clause in their agreement.
You didn't do anything wrong. You didn't morally do anything wrong. You know, there's ways around everything.
Yeah, I get to a certain extent, Jeff. Like, it's like this. Just because you weren't convicted of a crime as a criminal just means there's just not enough evidence to convict you. But doesn't mean you're not guilty, that there wasn't something done that was wrong. You just don't have the way. Look at the OJ trial. OJ went to trial, was innocent by a jury, whatever, whether you agree with the thing or not. Yet he was taken to court, civilly sued, and lost.
But you want to know something? I understand where you're going with this,
yeah.
And I hear you. But let me ask you something.
Uh-huh.
If you are proven innocent
yep.
in a court of law,
yep.
okay, somebody broke my window. Who broke your window? I think Tommy broke my window. Okay.
Yep.
Guy looked just like him, was running away from the front of my house, seen him throw a rock at my front door, broke my window. Can you identify him? No. Well, what happened next? Tommy came to my house the next day, gave me $500. But for what? Well, he just said, here's $500 for the door, and off he went. Okay, but nobody could see him. There was no video. There was no
right.
nothing. But so Tommy, can't say that Tommy did it. Tommy went and paid for it. I just don't think that you got to take us. I just don't think that it's right. And I'm not sticking up for him. So please don't think that. Just don't think it's right that they handled it the way they did. Just don't think so.
Again, I don't disagree with you. I think the problem is this. There wasn't, and Frankie's right, it's a he said, she said. So there's no physical evidence. He didn't penetrate anybody, supposedly.
Well,
you know,
listen, he said 25 others, she said.
Correct. Hi, Sharon. Like, hi, Basil.
She wants to be the mascot.
She already is. She's got a full-time job. She's got the full-time job. But you know what I'm saying, Jeff? Listen, I agree with you, but again, it's a he said, she said. So there's no physical evidence. Nobody got punched. Nobody got violated in the truest sense. Doesn't mean that there wasn't a crime. It's just not provable. There's two different things. There's proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, which you couldn't criminally be done, but that you don't have the same in a civil case. And the problem for the NFL is they could not just ignore the fact that he was accused, I want to say 24, 26, or 30 times. He's being sued by 20-something women, and he's still being sued by a couple of them, and they couldn't ignore it. Do I agree with you? Yes, I agree. He wasn't convicted in a criminal court, so he should not really have to suffer the penalty. But if you're the NFL, you cannot allow him out there playing football till this is all said and done.
Which some of the guys – and some of the crimes that some of these players have committed over the years, and they were allowed on the field another time.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Half the people for the fucking Dallas Cowboys were beating up women and
doing
all kinds of heinous shit. Sheldon Richardson was driving a car 160, 140, 8 miles an hour, whatever it was.
With a gun under a seat.
A loaded gun, weed, and a 12-year-old kid in the car.
Yep.
And what he got a couple games suspended.
Three games, I think.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not comparing what Deshaun Watson did, because that is a crime against several different people and a heinous crime.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It's not one to be swept under the rug. I'm just saying, though, when he was never found guilty. If he was found guilty, or they said, you know what, one of the women said that he paid off, said she won't testify, but if she testifies, they get him guilty for 25 counts. If she doesn't testify, he walks. And then next thing you know, she's riding around in a Bentley the next day.
Yeah.
And she's got $5 million.
Yeah.
Well, how did that happen? You know, she just happened to find it on the street?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, listen, you get accused by that many people, there's got to be some smoke. Now, maybe some of them piled on, I don't disagree with it. But there's smoke there. There's no doubt in my mind. Somebody along the line, a few of them, some of them, all of them, got harassed. Why didn't you report it? Why didn't you call the cops? Those would be my first questions to most of these people. But I also look at it. He went and paid. He went and paid most of them off. I don't know what dollar values are, if it's a dollar or $10 million, but he paid them. So to me, is that an admission of guilt, Jeff? No. But does it make you look very bad? It certainly does.
Yes, it does make them look bad. But you want to know something, Tom? He also said, and yet has not done it yet, said that he had the proof to exonerate himself. Okay, he's gone through the court of law. He hasn't shown it. This has been going on for almost 2 years. He hasn't shown it. Now he went through an independent arbitrator, took six games, and gladly took the six games on the chin. Now he's going through a different channel through the NFL. Where is his proof? Where is his proof?
Listen, I won't. I can't argue with you. I honestly can't argue with you with the facts on the case. You know, if you look at it from that kid, but the NFL doesn't have to hold themselves to that kind of scrutiny. You know, they have a morals clause. If you violate the morals clause, they can suspend you. They can do things to you. You know, do I think he's going to wind up with the season? I don't know. I don't think they can let him play football till that civil court case is over. Because if he's found guilty in the civil court case, boy, they're going to look stupid if he played football this year.
Well, you know what? Yes and no. Yes and no.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. Because what happens if the civil court case, suppose they turn around and say, based on the cases moving forward from this day,
mm-hmm.
what has been settled and what we know so far, we're going to give you 6 games.
Uh-huh.
So now, while this other case, what is there, one more case left in court?
I'm not sure if it's one or two, but it's a fraction of what was out there.
The remaining trial, while still being held in court or heard in court,
right?
Depending on the outcome of that, we will revisit the penalty phase here,
uh-huh.
and either add or leave the same. So, in other words, if they give him 6 games and he's found innocent in trial and in court, it'll stay at 6 games. But if they give him 6 games and then he plays 2 weeks, and now all of a sudden it says, well, you know, he was found guilty. Now we have to revisit it because they could consider it. They should be able to consider it a different case because it wasn't heard.
Yeah.
It was, nothing was based on that. So now here you are that they, it's like a different crime. Now you got, what's the word I'm looking for? My brain is like fucking fried. You were convicted in court or it didn't go your way in court. So now you got to pay for this.
Problem is, I don't believe his court, this is going to court till after the season's over. So you're either going to suspend them this year or you're going to wait till next year. You know, they could easily say, you know what? And they may be better off. Don't forget, his contract for this year is only $1 million. Next year, it's 40-something million. So the NFL could say, you know what? We're not going to suspend you. We're going to wait till the outcome of the trial, see all the evidence, and then we're going to make our judgment regardless of the outcome of that trial. And then he would get, think about it. If he got suspended next year, he'd lose $45 million.
Okay, but you know what? His money's guaranteed.
No. If he gets suspended and he does not get paid, and I believe, then at the very least, they would fine him a season's pay, and that money comes out and goes to charity. So, no, it doesn't matter if it's guaranteed. If he doesn't perform. Now, you make a good point, though. If the Browns said, even though he's suspended, we're going to pay him anyway. I don't know if they're allowed to do that, if it's their right to do it. That's a great question I can't answer. That's a really good one.
I was just going to ask that in some way because,
yeah.
like you said, that if he gets suspended this year,
yeah.
his contract doesn't start till next year. So
correct.
If he was to play this year, get suspended next year, and be able to play again the following year, did they just tack on another year on the back end that he ain't getting paid?
Don't know the answer to that, Jeff. It's a really...
As being yeah. that it's guaranteed money,
yeah.
that might make it different because that's a big...
I know. Yeah, very possible. I don't know the answer to that. I have not heard these couple of points brought up by anybody. I know that if you're suspended, you don't get paid, and that's why they only made his... pay $1 million this year because they assumed he would be suspended for a part of the season and he would lose pay. Now, I don't know if they're entitled or they're allowed to say, screw it, you didn't play, you were suspended, but we're going to pay you anyway. I don't know how that works. It's a great point. I wish we can...
They could turn around more than likely and redo his contract and say, well...
Possible
too. You're going to redo your contract being you're not going to play or it looks like you're going to get suspended. We're going to redo your contract.
What, and another year in the back end?
No, not necessarily.
Or
you're
just
dollars next year. Okay, you're going to play this year
mm-hmm.
in 2022, but you're going to end up getting suspended for 2023 when your salary is going to be another $1 million. But in 2024, your salary is going to be 44, 45, and 44. So it's going to be $89 million.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, but think about your salary. Think about your salary cap for that season, Jeff. You know, you know what I'm saying? You bend it over backwards a lot for a guy, you know?
Well, yeah, I understand that. But when you say the word guaranteed,
I got you.
You don't know how you're held to the fire with that. Maybe they turn around and they make it a signing bonus or something.
You know, again, I don't know the ramifications and what they're allowed to do. I think that's an interesting – too many penalties by the Giants tonight. I'm watching the game, some good play here and there, but way too many penalties, especially in the secondary. And the referees are calling a very close game, and I know they do that in the preseason. But boy, oh boy, a lot of questionable, just ticky-tack fouls for a preseason game. But
I wouldn't even watch that right now.
Well, you know what, Jeff? I you know what? For me as a Giant fan, I kind of wanted to, especially I wanted more. Again, we're going to talk about this in a minute when we're done with the Deshaun Watson conversation. But I'm always curious, you know, now that it's only three games, you know, the old format is the old format used to be game one, your starters play one series. Game two, they play a quarter. Game three, they play a half, maybe into the third quarter. And game four, they play maybe a quarter. Now, you know, the Giants this year, you know, new head coach, new offensive coordinator, new system. You know, Daniel Jones played two series that I saw. So, you know, I'm curious to how most teams are going to face with only three games and getting a roster from 90 guys to 53 guys.
Well, listen, without a doubt, it's they definitely took a big tool away from them to get that 17th game, which I don't like. And, you know, listen, as far as now, what are they going to play? A couple series? Maybe they're going to play a quarter next game?
Maybe.
And then the third game, maybe they don't even play at all. Look at a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Somebody that's still stuck in San Francisco looking to get out. He ain't going to be able to go anyplace.
Did you see they had him on the depth, fourth on the depth chart?
Really?
They had him listed fourth on the depth chart.
You know why that is, don't you?
I you know what? I can't figure out for the life of me.
Because they're probably looking to trade him. They don't want to just let him put him in a game. They want to make sure that he stays healthy. And they haven't thrown him out there yet. Has he even been okayed by the doctors to go out there?
I don't even know. But Jeff, aren't you devaluing him? Like, if I call you up and I say, I want to trade for your backup quarterback, that's a second-round pick. I'm throwing a number out there. I want to trade for your fourth quarterback. Oh, I want to give you a fifth-round pick. You know what I'm saying? Aren't you devaluing him a little bit by doing that? And you're basically telling everybody out there we could give two shits about the guy.
Well, listen, if Trey Lance is who you're going with this year, you know that you don't have the chance to get this guy in there, and he was injured, and you didn't try to trade him last year or do something with him last year, you already devalued him because you knew that he was going to walk one way or another anyhow.
Yeah.
Really, what you know, you're just putting a cap on what everybody else has already assumed.
Yeah.
Tom, I'll be right back. I got to get a water. I want to shut the fan.
Go ahead. Do what you got to do.
Here for the first time.
No problem. Hard Rockin' Sports. Jeff and Tom hanging out on a Thursday night. Thanks, you guys, for popping up. We talked a little bit of everything. Giants, a little ugly football tonight. A lot of penalties. I had a big run by one of the backs. I couldn't see the number, but a holding penalty has brought that back. Tyrod Taylor's in there for Daniel Jones. First string offense and defense, not spectacular at all. Like I said, a lot of penalties on the defense. I did not see the entire first drive, which ended in a field goal. So we'll catch the highlights later on of that. But stick around. We got a lot to talk about, Jeff and I. We got about another hour and change to play here, and we still got a lot of conversation to get to, so hang in there, guys. Remember, if you're out there, let me know how many slices is it socially acceptable to order. Let me know what you're thinking out there. Again, let's see. We'll talk about like I said, we got a lot to talk about tonight. We're going to get to a little bit of Kevin Durant. We've still got some Jets and Giants to talk about. With Yankees, Mets, we'll talk a little bit about that. I want to play a little clip for Jeff. Jeff, I got to tell you, do you ever watch Hard Knocks? I probably have seen a few episodes. I've never watched an entire season. I don't know why. Maybe it's the Giants haven't been on. The Giants don't want to ever do it. I don't think a team has a choice when the NFL picks you. I think you have to do it.
There's been teams that have said no to it before.
Yeah, you know, this year it's the Detroit Lions, and normally I've become a big fan of the Lions because of their coach. I think the guy's hysterical. Did you hear his press conference this week?
No.
All right, I got to play this for you. You gotta have to hear this. You have to indulge me. So, give me a second.
The experiences we never forget come from the choices we make. The Wagoneer. For the Grand Wagoneer. Grand Adventures. The choice is yours.
We're going to get up, and on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. Doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes. I will beat your ass.
Now, I would tell you this. I do think that we may need a little bit more girth up front. You know, I wouldn't say that we're not looking for that.
It gives me a chance to go out and see some of our fans who I know will be out there.
I learned how to clean chicken, and I could do it blind over and over, and I'll never do it again.
Yeah, I was doing it in high school.
NFL, every catch like it was a game-winning catch.
Well, yeah, that's why that's why it's a highlight tape. That's why it's a highlight tape. Down 30-0. I'm like, bam!
Well, normally what I do is I'll get two venti. I go, you know, Starbucks, get two venti with two shots in them. So black eye in both. We're trying to focus on winning. We got to find a way to win. You know, you lose your first three games or something, and all of a sudden I'm getting run out of town. And that's the reality.
Come on, Deese. These nuts.
Listen, you guys seem like he has a likable thing about him, but it's all smoke and mirrors, trying to keep his the attention off the team and on him.
Listen, you know what? I couldn't agree more, but I think that's just who the guy is. Like, I think the guy's a complete maniac. I don't care if you have one ass cheek and three toes. I'm going to beat your ass. That's funny shit. I'm sorry.
It's funny stuff, without a doubt. Yeah. But you know what? We're on the fucking Detroit Lions, and you know, he's right. Lose three in a row. See what happens.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. I'll just say this. I would tell you that this will probably be the first year that I will ever watch Hard Knocks from beginning to end. Because I think the guy's hysterical. I think the guy has got amazing person. I'm rooting for them. I rooted for them last year, and I'm rooting for them this year to do well. So we'll see. But I think the game of football needs characters like that, who just, you know, they're not politically correct. They don't say the right things. They say what's on their mind.
And listen, and that's to me, I hear you. That to me is fine. There should be more of that in football. It's the game of football.
Yep.
It's almost, especially the way that it's treated now, it's bigger than life for some people. You need a character or two like that in the game.
Absolutely.
At one time, I remember a football coach was this dour-looking guy that stood on the sidelines like a Chuck Knoll or a Bill Belichick with a puss on all game. Meanwhile, he's getting fucking pelted by rain and snow, and his demeanor hasn't changed whether they win or lose. You had a man, what the fuck was his name? Dallas Cowboys with the hat.
Tom Landry. Yep.
Just up and down the sidelines. Like, who was he? Was he ripping off Bear Bryant, or Bear Bryant was ripping off him? You know, they were two of the same. One was a college, one was a pro level quarterback.
Yep.
So you had a guy like him, you know, and then you had the guy down in Miami, Shula, Don Shula.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of looked like your uncle from your mother's side that, you know, you really didn't see that much. Yep. Maybe on Christmas, he'd just give you an envelope, and then you wouldn't see him again next year, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, this is for you, you know. Hey, you know, you just don't know. This is the personalities that there were back then. And now you got all these younger guys, and, you know, so you kind of need a personality as a coach, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
That's my point of it, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's fun. I listen, back in the day, you had guys like Hank Stram, who were characters, Parcells. Was a bit of a character in his day. But, yeah, you're right. A lot of those 70s coaches were, you know, suit and tie, button up guys on the sideline. You know, I in today's era, I hear that guy talking. I'm like, dude, anytime he's on the screen, I'm stopping and listening because something's coming out of I want to hear biting kneecaps or I'm kicking your ass if you got one ass cheek and three toes. My kind of guy, Jeff. That's my kind of coach.
I hear you.
So we'll see. Do I expect great things out of the Lions this year? No. I still don't know who's going to win that division. It's got to be Green Bay. But, you know, the Vikings, I don't know what to make of them. The Bears are going to be terrible. I would be shocked if Justin Fields didn't either quit, get traded, get released by the end of the season, because he's going to be surrounded by nothing but knuckleheads and guys who just want to get out of there.
Well, listen, isn't there already one that's looking to get out
of there? Yeah, Raquan Smith is just come out and said it. They, 100%.
You know, I don't think they're going to give up on him just yet.
No, but again, I I think that's going to be. I think he's walking into the hounds of hell at this point. So
I'll tell you, we've been talking about it here and there.
Yep.
Not too much. I try to kind of shut him down a little bit when he starts to complain, but John and his Steelers. When he starts complaining, I'm like, John,
you and I would sell a left nut for 10 years or 12 years or whatever it is of, you know, 500 or better football. So I understand your point.
Yeah, I don't see that rookie getting in there. He wants that rookie to start in the worst way. That's Mitchell Trubisky's team, man.
Yes, I would agree with that. Trubisky's going to have to completely fall on his face for four or five games. What's up, Leonard? Before they'd even think about making that a possibility. I mean, listen, I think the Steelers are third best team in that division. The Vegas has Ravens 1, Bengals 2. I completely disagree. I think this Bengal team is even better than last year. I don't think that was a fluke. I think it's at best it's the Bengals, Ravens, for sure in that division, and then I'll maybe go to Steelers for 3.
I don't know, man. I don't think it's going to be the Browns. That's for sure.
Yeah. I'm not a big Deshaun Watson guy. I don't know how you feel. I'm not a big Deshaun Watson fan, even if he's playing, and I'm not sure that team's going to win at all. But I don't think they'd be terrible. I think if they go into the season with Jacoby Brissett, they're the fourth best team guaranteed in that division. So
that I could go with.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very interesting, that division this year. I also don't think that you're fucked up, man. I also don't think that the Ravens. You got to remember, the Ravens have the worst passing offense in the league. All right. I mean, and there's a guy who's an MVP quarterback looking for his huge deal. Why didn't he get the huge deal? We all know why. You know, his dear friend, Marquise Brown, asked to be traded off the team because their passing offense is so bad. And this is a guy who's best friends with the quarterback. Come on.
He has an MVP award. He's been in the playoffs 3 out of 4 years. He has a lot of arguments for him.
More against.
What's that?
I think he's got more arguments against him being a good player than for him being a good player.
Dude, all he's got to do is point to that trophy, MVP.
I got it. I give you one argument that the guy's a fantastic athlete.
A one-trick pony.
Correct. That's it.
He runs.
All right, what do you equate last year to Cincinnati? Was it a fluke? They caught fire, really not that good? Or do you think it was a team that just grew up fast and they're going to build off that this year?
I can't answer that question honestly until at least the quarter mark.
The
reason I say that is because first year, Joe Burrow got hurt, okay? And they weren't all that good of a team when he got hurt. Second year, they definitely took a huge step forward. Was it luck? Was it the schedule? Are they for real? I don't know. So it's hard to say. Do I like Joe Burrow? I love Joe Burrow.
Okay.
I remember when he was playing with LSU.
Mm-hmm.
I used to love watching him play. It was great quarterback.
Yep.
You know, he has his teammate with him.
Yep.
LSU, so that helps him out a lot. He has somebody he feels very comfortable with as a receiver. I think that once that team starts playing, I think that we will know right away. I think before the quarterway mark of the season, we'll know. But I just can't stand behind that team as of right now. I just can't do it.
I think that's acceptable. Not knowing the team that's going into battle and all of that. But, you know, this is a team that I think has gotten better. I'll give you their they drafted Dax Hill, the safety from Michigan, Cam Taylor, Britt Corner, Zach Carter. You know, I think they upped the defense a little bit there. Trying to think what they did in free agency. Give me a second. I'm going to give you the new players added. Okay, so the added players – They fixed up the offensive line with three players. Ted Karras from New England, the center, Alex Copper from Tampa, and Lael Collins. So their big problem last year, Jeff, especially in the playoffs, was sacks. They gave up a ton of sacks.
Yes.
So I think they've done a lot to fix that offensive line. Will it hold? I don't know. I have a lot of faith in that team. I think the new era quarterbacks are going to take over this year. I think Justin Herbert's going to have a big year, and I also believe that Joe Burrow is going to build off of last year, and I think that team will be good. But again, you're right. Will we know? Nope. I agree with you. I like to use week four as a pretty good gauge. You're pretty much who you are by week four. Now, there's some odd teams that change it around, but I would agree with you. Week four, you're pretty much – we know you're whether you're a 500 team or you're a lousy team or a great team.
Well, the reason I say week four is because you got to think of it this way too. Pittsburgh has three quarterbacks.
Yep.
Doesn't know for sure which one they're going to use.
That's Trubisky, but okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Cleveland doesn't even really have a quarterback right now.
Technically, no.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore has a quarterback who's not signed for, what is it, next year? So he's going to be playing extra hard.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't play and he doesn't do good, maybe he isn't on a team next year. Okay. So maybe he's looking to play for himself. So the only team in that division that's going in with a solid quarterback is...
It
is Cincinnati Bengals.
Agreed, 100%. I that's why I really believe that division is theirs to play with this year. Now again, injuries, we're not counting for injuries, we're not counting for a lot of that kind of stuff. But,
no, we're not counting for injuries.
I
also think that you know with the AFC, you got Mahomes,
mm-hmm.
you got Herbert, and you got Allen, and you got Mac Jones.
Yep.
Right there, four quarterbacks that you have to keep an eye on. That could be either one of the four of them could end up being in the top five, top ten.
Again, you also got to throw in Russell Wilson, who I'm not a huge fan of. You know, there are some other guys running around in that AFC that are good quarterbacks.
Russell Wilson is a good quarterback, but Russell Wilson is going from Seattle to Denver.
Yeah,
I don't know if he knows what it's going to be like to play in Denver. Especially in the cold in the wintertime. It's not Seattle.
Yep.
Okay, that's one thing. Two, the air is so thin up there. How's he going to perform?
Mm-hmm.
How's it going to, is it going to hinder him and his game?
Yep.
So there's a lot. Let him get used to Denver first. The AFC East, like Tua, you don't know what's going on with Tua. You don't know what's going on with the kid on the Jets. You don't know with Las Vegas Raiders
mm-hmm.
what's going to end up happening there. And speaking of Las Vegas Raiders, where's the little fella?
I did not hear from the little fella, and I've been not avoiding him, but the little fella's got a lot of issues. He's just got a lot of issues. I will line him up for next week, though. He's got a lot of...
Is it true that I hear the little fella may be getting a sponsored trip to rehab from the Hard Rockin' Sports?
It's very possible. Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it at this point.
Yeah, the little, act together there.
Yeah, the little fella needs to get straightened out, and I really do feel compelled to try and get involved and help the little guy out.
Maybe we need a dunk tank.
Yeah, we might need a chain in your basement. That's what we might need. Chain the boy up in your basement. So, Hard Rockin' Sports, Jeff and Tom, we're talking a little football tonight. We got some football on the screen. So why not spend a little time talking a little extra football tonight? I got a lot of stuff to bring to throw at Jeff, which is kind of just one of those nights. I'm throwing some topics out there and see what we got. Jeff, what do you think of the fact that Matthew Stafford is kind of on a pitch count? You know, he's got some sort of a tired shoulder or something's not right in the throwing shoulder. He's not been practicing much. He's certainly not throwing the football very much. Would you be concerned the guy's in his mid-30s, throwing a lot of footballs over the years, and, 6 months after throwing his last official pass, he's still not feeling 100%. Would you be a little nervous?
Yeah.
And would that change your opinion? I would imagine you have them high up on your list of teams in the NFC, which we'll get to before the season starts. But would that Would that kind of change your thought process on Rams if he's out or hobbled for the first few seasons, for the first few games?
Listen, I don't think he's going to be hobbled for the first few games because I think this is something that's going to fucking follow him throughout the season.
You think so?
Yeah, of course, man. If 6 months later and you have a tired elbow or whatever the fuck you're calling it, this isn't something that, you know, come on.
Yeah. To me, if your arm's barking now, it's going to bark for a while.
Yeah.
You know, so unless you're going to sit out for the first 6 or 8 weeks, you know, and then hope you get it back. I think you're right. This is something that's going to follow him through the whole season.
Yeah. If anything, they're going to run more rely on the running game.
Again, it's not a bad philosophy. You're not a bad philosophy. You know, if you can win your games that way.
Whatever happened to that running back that they had that played for like two or three seasons, blew out his fucking knee and never touched the ball?
Todd Gurley, right? I'm not sure what happened to Gurley.
Is he out of the league?
I'm going to check right now because I think he is. He did get another job, but I don't think he even played.
He was to Atlanta.
Yeah, I agree. I'm checking right now. Let me see if I get his stats. Todd Gurley, Wikipedia.
I don't know if he played last year.
I'll tell you in a half a second, Jeffrey. I will tell you in a half a second. He did not play last year. His final stats, 26 years old, 2020. He had 15 games, 195 rushes, 678. He did not play last year.
Wow.
So I do not see. I let me go back to his Wikipedia page and see if he's announced his retirement, because I did not see an announcement of retirement from him. Let's see real fast, Jeff. Recruits 2020. He played for the Rams 2015, 17 Rams, 18 Rams, 19 Rams, Falcons for 20. He did. But does not give a personal life. It does not say whether or not he's retired or not. I don't see it anywhere. And, you know, he seems to be doing a lot more stuff outside of football. So we'll assume that he's done. Unless we see something different, Jeff. So, yes, Todd Gurley at 28 years old, done in football. Here's a guy who is, I would say, would have sent most people to pick in the top five, top 10 for sure, best players in the league a few years back.
Definitely, without a doubt.
Yeah, and then it was that playoff run. Was it before that all of a sudden you could see he wasn't the same guy? Was it in the playoffs that year?
Well, it was in the playoffs because he was all over the place at that point in time. You know, the games were nationally televised,
yeah.
But it was actually leading up to that, which I think was the problem. But they never, ever said what the issue was with his shoulder.
No, they never did. Oh, you're 100% right. They never really kind of said what he actually hurt and how he hurt it.
Well, not his shoulder, his
knee.
Knee.
It was the knee, yeah. It was his leg or knee, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Interesting. Hey, talk to me about the battle for the quarterback position in Carolina. What are you thinking?
Well, from what I'm reading, it seems like Baker has the upper hand, which is no shocker there.
Yeah.
I think I could have beat out Sam Darnold, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean.
He threw the ball a little further than me. That's about it. It's just, I don't understand how these guys, where they were drafted and how they were looked upon and how they literally just fell off the fucking mountain.
Could you imagine? These are two guys who went 1-3 in the draft a few years ago, and now they're on the same team, on different teams than they were drafted by, who are now fighting for the same position. It's kind of a strange situation.
I'd say strange, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think Baker's I think other than an injury, Baker's a lock to win that job. I think Sam Darnold, they had no choice. I don't what they were thinking about giving him this year's salary. I don't know. Based on what you saw last year, he just doesn't even look like an NFL quarterback.
Because they hit him up with that extension when he played the three games, four games at the beginning of the season,
yeah.
And he was doing so good, and everybody and their mother thought that, oh, this is the real Sam Darnold. Look what he's doing now.
Yeah.
And then he fell off the fucking face of the earth. I said from day one that I didn't think he was that good, and I was concerned. And, you know, the Jets, he did nothing with the Jets. He went over to Carolina.
Yep.
Had a couple good games, and everybody and their mother thought that he was doing great. And then he just leveled off and just fell right down.
Man. Yeah.
Went to the mine shaft.
Yeah.
I don't think he landed yet.
Yeah, I think that's a tough situation in Carolina. I think Baker Mayfield's obviously his mind is on having a good season and moving on to somewhere else. I don't think he wants to be there. I don't know how much McCaffrey's going to play this year. The guy's a great player, but hasn't really played much. Donald, yeah, they have salary cap issues, and I think that coach is on the hot seat. If they don't win this year, if they don't make a marked improvement, I would see Matt Rhule's going to be looking for a new job next year.
I will say this much, though. Okay.
Yeah.
I think what happened in Carolina with Sam Darnold only goes to show you and prove that in the NFL, if you have the most minute skills at quarterback,
yeah,
and you flash them at the right time, you're going to be looked upon as a savior and make some big money real quick.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, there's no doubt. There's no doubt, Jeff. Listen, even if you're not one of the top 30-something starters, it doesn't really matter. The dearth of good backups. I mean, just evidenced by what the Giants went through last year when Danny Dimes went out. You know, if you're a half a human being, you're going to play and you're going to make money in this league. I mean, there are guys. I'd have to look it up. There are quarterbacks who've played, you know, 10 years in the league, had 7 snaps, and have made, you know, $30-40 million in their career.
Yeah, but Tom, that chance comes along. You know, every year there's at least one guy that gets the chance or one guy that creates a little bit of a buzz. And depending on when and where he creates the buzz,
uh-huh,
equates to a bigger thing for them. So
sure.
That's one thing.
Yep.
Second, look at like a Brock Osweiler as a prime example.
Oof, there's a guy.
And
wow.
All of a sudden the guy flashed some brilliance. Next thing you know, he's getting signed everywhere. And then there's... He's being traded everywhere because they just wanted to get rid of him. And,
yeah.
You know, and the whole point of it is that you get a guy like Brock Osweiler, okay? I don't know who next year, like the kid from the Jets, what was this, Mike White?
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck his name was.
Mike
he
White.
Had one good game.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, everybody and their mother's like, oh, man, how come this guy isn't in there? Joe Flynn used to send me messages all the time. I was like, Joe, you have no idea what you're talking about. He's like, how come this guy's not playing? How come he's not the quarterback? Look what he did in one game. One game. It could happen. A lot of people come in and play one good game, and that's it.
Had that been his last game of the season, he would have got a $60 million contract at the end of the year. Had that been his last game of the year, and he would have got a four-year, $20 million a year contract. Without a doubt in my mind.
Without a fucking doubt.
Yeah, because people are so hung. Everybody was flipping out, and not you, but there's a lot of people, this guy, why aren't they playing him? Where did this guy come from? And to the point where he got so bad that the rumor is that I heard was that he actually was in a game and asked to be taken out because he was so bad. He actually went up to the coach and said, take me out. Please just take me out.
Well, listen, I don't know if that's true or not, and you know how shit gets all fucking twisted.
I understand.
I will say this much, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're 100% right. If it was the last game or second to last game of the season and he came in there and he pitched in relief and he did great like that, then everybody and their mother happened to the kid that used to play up in Green Bay.
Yes, yes, yes.
Flynn, I think his name was.
No.
Flynn or something like that.
Oh, my God. It might have been Flynn. It might actually have been Flynn. You're right. Yeah, he had that one really great game in relief of Rodgers. I think it was Rodgers or Favre, one of them.
Rodgers, and I think he ended up going to fucking Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Rated.
Yeah. Or Seattle, yeah. But you're right, yeah. Based on that one game, and he never got close to duplicating it.
Well, he never played. They ended up trading him.
Yes, yes, you're right. That's right. That's you're 100% right. He won that
in the play. Played for the fucking, I think that's how bad he was in preseason that they ended up trading him.
Yeah.
And so it just, and which brings me to the point where everybody is looking for the next great quarterback.
Was it Matt Flynn? Matt Flynn, wasn't it?
Matt Flynn, yes. There you go.
Yeah, Matt Flynn. Yeah, I just looked it up. I thought it was, I knew it was Flynn. I didn't know it was Flynn, but Matt Flynn stuck out. But God, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Everybody is so hell-bent on trying to find the next quarterback that they're just taking stabs in the dark and whatever comes their way. So here is Matt Flynn. He goes out. I think he had like threw for like 378 yards and like four touchdowns or three touchdowns. And next thing you know, bang, he's getting signed.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, what the fuck? Who is this guy?
Yeah, and you're right. After that, he did absolutely nothing. He got traded from Green Bay or went from Green Bay to Seattle. He played three games in Seattle, gone. Went to three teams. In 2000, went to Buffalo, two games, didn't play. Five games back in Green Bay, played four of them, and then went to Oakland, played two games, lost it, lost one of them, and then finished up his career with seven games in Green Bay in 14. So the guy capitalized on whatever performance it was, went to Seattle, played three games, and was gone.
Yeah.
And had through nine passes in those three games. So obviously he didn't start more than one game.
And if he did, he definitely wasn't given many fucking passes.
No, yeah.
It was like the year, I'll never forget, one of the greatest games I ever watched in my life was Rex Ryan was the head coach of the Jets. I believe it was a Monday night game, and he put Geno Smith in there. And he didn't even let Geno throw the ball. He just kept handing it off. Remember that game?
Yes, I do remember that game, yes.
And Geno Smith looked so pissed off that game. And then they said that he had a perfect passing score or whatever.
Yeah.
But he didn't throw the ball. He didn't throw the ball.
Hard Rockets Board, Chef and Tom still hanging in there. Good. We got a lot more to talk about. We're back every Thursday night, 7 to 9:30. So hang in there. Yeah. Did you follow the whole Kyler Murray saga with the contract? Did you follow all of that?
No, but real quick before we do any more, I just want to, before we forget.
The boys at Hemp Wizard, sure.
Friends at Hemp Wizard, man, and their beard care products. I usually get Cushman's, but next time around, I'm going to let my wife pick the scent.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, see what she goes for. But, you know, quick review, this stuff is good, man. This shit is as soft as a motherfucker.
Nobody can say it better, Jeff. Nobody can say it better. Better soft as a motherfucker. No, listen, thanks to our good buddies at Joe and Mike at Hemp Wizard Beard Care Co. Again, not only do they have great beard care products, they got great lotions. These guys are top notch. And if you got a family friend who needs some help with their beard, Jeff and I happen to know a guy we should recommend it to, but we're probably not going to recommend it to him. Because he's got a lot of ill things hitting his beard lately. We recommend that just about everybody else. If you got a family friend or a family member with a nice beard like Jeff's, or even they're starting out, get them the Hemp Wizard product because those guys are the best. And the product is amazing. You know, Jeff swears by it. Tells me off screen all the time how much he enjoys using the product. And
every day.
Yep,
every
so
day in the shower.
Hemp Wizard Beard Care Co.
I got no clothes on. I put a little in my hand, and then I lather it up, and then the other hand's got soap, and I'm lathering up.
Way too much information, Jeff. Way too much, but we're good. It works out for you because they're great guys, and we want everybody to support them and all our other supporters and friends of the show. So thanks to all of them, but really thanks to a special thanks to our guys from Hemp Wizard. They're good people. Joe Casano and Mike Weissman, good people. So Hemp Wizard, Beer Care Co., make sure you check them out. Jeff, I was asking about Kyler Murray. Have you followed the Kyler Murray contract saga?
Yes and no. Yes and no. I just don't understand. You know, one day these guys get all pissed off, heard their social medias and Instagrams.
Mm-hmm.
Every shred of the team that they're being paid by until they get more money. And the teams fall for it and throw boatloads of money at them. Kyler Murray did something very similar, got paid, and there he is. He's a proud Cardinal once again. And
well,
I just don't understand it. What is it you did to deserve the raise?
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, this is a team that fell apart last year. I think they were 10-0. Or close to it, 11-0, and then they wound up losing their last six or seven games. Had an early exit in the playoffs. So, but the big thing that came out of it, Jeff, was there was a clause put into it that forced Kyler Murray that he had to stay in the facility for 4 hours a week and show them that he was studying, because what I heard on another show was that the big knock on Kyler Murray was that he didn't believe in doing the film work. And he had a quote last year, and I tried to find it and I forgot to follow up on it. But the quote was, "I don't need to watch a lot of film. Football is very instinctive for me, and I don't need to have to put in the work that other people do." Wow. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit. So supposedly, and again, this is what you hear when you listen to some of these football shows, that his teammates were not thrilled with the guy because he wasn't putting in the work. He wasn't the first guy in the building or the last guy to leave. Very rarely did the extra work, and to the point where the Cardinals had to put into his guarantee, his contract, that you have to spend at least 4 hours a week, which to me is nothing. Doing studying, and it got such a backlash, and he was taking such a beating in social media that the Cardinals had to go in and take the clause back out and basically come out and say, well, this was just standard. That was no knock on Kyler Murray, but if it wasn't, Jeff, why would you put that in there?
Yeah, what else could it have been? And like you said, 4 hours. What is that?
Yeah, no, to me that's one day. So to me, that's
you know what? The part of the problem is once again going back to what I just said a few minutes ago, where everybody and their mother looking to get a quarterback, no matter what they've done.
Yeah.
And as long as they've done it and their resume reads more than one game,
yep,
they're going to get paid. So, you know, Kyler Murray had a stretch where they were 10-0 and you know, then 10-1 and then 10-2, which is still a great record at the time until the end of the season. So they're going to say that he's an established quarterback. Look at what he did. And, you know, listen, we're going to pay him as such because we're not going to lose him. And then he'll go someplace else and become MVP of the league. All of these players have the leverage because the teams are willing to pay them. And if the Cardinals let him go, then a team like the Lions, I could tell you right now, and you disagree with me if you want.
Sam.
Okay. The Lions, the Bears, Panthers, these are teams that would take him immediately. The Redskins.
Yeah.
Maybe the Eagles. Maybe the Giants.
Dolphins. Okay. Maybe the Dolphins.
Maybe the Dolphins. Okay.
Texans.
Who?
Texans.
Texans, yeah. Okay. Maybe the Vikings.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Maybe the Lions.
Possible, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Seahawks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay. There's no shortage. He'll have a job in no time.
Yep.
That's like Garoppolo. I don't know what it is that these teams – I know it's not the 49ers, they already know that they can't trade him and get anything.
Yeah.
And the other teams are just like, just a matter of time before they let him loose and it will snatch him up. So, you know, it is amazing what goes on with that position. And Jim Garoppolo probably sitting back just like, you know what? Listen, whenever you guys are ready to let me loose, let me know. I'll take the release. No problem.
And I can't figure out why he's still there. If you had no intention of playing him, why would you put him on the fourth on the depth chart? I mean, you got to think that Seattle would take him in a heartbeat. You got to think that there's a few teams out there. I don't know if they're waiting to see what team gets a quarterback injured at this point. I just can't imagine that come week one of the NFL season, he's still on that roster, regardless.
I don't know, Tom.
Yeah, I don't have any faith in Trey Lance. He may turn out to be the cat's meow, as they call it, Jeff. But I've watched his highlight tape. I have not seen anything so far in the pros where I'd say, all right, the guy's definitely taking a better turn. But they're putting all the eggs in the, you know, and there's a team that, you know, realistically has a Super Bowl chance based on their defense and some of the other players to be. Handing it over to Trey Lance is a little surprising. But,
listen, you know, not for nothing, Garoppolo is one of these guys throughout his career. Yeah, he had some success, but he's also gotten hurt a couple times too. So he's not somebody that, you know, that you want to put all your eggs in one basket.
No,
because,
I agree.
You know, the basket may break.
But you know what? He is the epitome of the quarterback of today. Honestly, it's him. It's Cousins. It's Goff. It's Winston. It's.
All right, but you know what? Real quick, listen. Yeah. Goff already made it to a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Okay.
Jameis Winston was the number one pick.
Yeah.
Garoppolo made it to a Super Bowl, I believe, right?
No, NFC Championship game. He did not make it.
Championship
yeah.
game. So, you know, these are people that have some decent resumes. So, you know, for a quarterback, think about what some of the people that make money. Kirk Cousins made a lot of money, didn't have half the resume some of those other people did. Never made a Super Bowl, never made an NFC
yeah.
Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but yet he got paid like he did.
Yes. But that's my point. You have these guys, you know, a few years ago, Jeff, we were having a conversation here, and we probably could have named 10 quarterbacks who we would say, if they weren't elite-level quarterbacks, they were on the cusp. You know, we could argue about Eli Manning, but it was, at least the guy's got two Super Bowls. He was on the cusp. Whether you thought he was elite or not, he was right there. I guarantee you right –
He's a top 10 quarterback.
Huh?
He's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL in his day.
Right. Agreed. But I'm saying is you could have argued – You know, we could have sat here and said, well, you know, he could be number 7, he could be number 6, he could be number 10. Depends on, you know, the quarterbacks in the middle there. I mean, there were some guys that, you know, we probably had him behind or in front of. We could have had the argument. Today, I don't think we can come up with top 10 quarterbacks, but can we come up with 10 top 10 quarterbacks who are borderline elite? No. Right now, the epitome of the quarterback today is guys like Cousins and Garoppolo, who are better than average quarterbacks who maybe 5 or 7 years ago, you know, would have been, you know, top 15 or 20.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing. You can't compare the elite quarterback of 10 years ago
yeah.
with the elite quarterback of today simply because the landscape, the land has changed, the lay of the land has changed. So what you would have thought of as a top 5 quarterback 10 years ago
yeah.
is completely different.
You oh, of course.
Guys that are still developing. You have Justin Herbert.
Herbert.
You got Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
And you got Josh Allen. 3 quarterbacks that have less than 5 years in the league that I would definitely say are within the top 10, but I don't know where I would put them in the top 10 right now. I don't particularly feel comfortable with Josh Allen as the top quarterback. Okay. I don't feel comfortable with putting Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers as the top quarterback in the league.
Because of their age. Okay, sure.
Because of their age. Exactly.
100%.
Okay. Jameis Winston, okay, all of a sudden has gone from he got dropped out of Tampa, but he goes into New Orleans, and he's a borderline star.
Yeah.
And he didn't even play a full season over there. So you don't know what's going to happen with some of these guys.
I agree. But if you took today's top guys. All right, I would just say this. The guys who would make our top 10 today. Now, let's be honest. Guys like Garoppolo and Cousins are going to be borderline top 10 guys, not because they are elite quarterbacks, but just because they're better than the second wave of guys. You know?
Well,
But those guys could never have cracked the top 10 5 or 7 years ago when you had the two Mannings, Aaron Rodgers at the height of his career, Tom Brady, Drew Brees. You know, they're not cracking that list.
Roethlisberger.
You know, they're not. Yeah. They're not. You know, even back then, Matt Ryan, Stafford, those guys were barely top 10 guys. And those are probably better quarterbacks than most of these people in the league right now.
Well.
They're probably better, you know, the guys, the Matt Ryans of the world, the Matthew Staffords of the world, a couple of years ago, couldn't barely make our top 10. Now, they're easily Stafford's easily top 10 now.
Was it because the top 10 a couple of years ago
was deeper?
I don't want to say better players.
Better players, absolutely.
Well, kept players like those guys, Matthew Ryan and Stafford, out of the top 10 because It was so deep.
Yes, that's the point. Yes, I agree with that. That's the reason.
It's not that there's not elite players in this league now, because there are elite players.
How many of the today's quarterback would you say, I will go on a limb and say that guy's elite right now? How many of these guys are elite at this moment in their career?
Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
Patrick Mahomes. You got to throw Rodgers in. I don't really like
it. Neither, but yeah, but you have to. I agree.
Brady.
Yep.
I put on the tail end of elite.
Okay, yeah, he's on the border at this point.
What's elite? Top five, type seven?
I don't think you have to be top five or top. You can have 10 elite quarterbacks. So you can be a top 10 guy.
Because then you're saying one-third of the league is elite.
But what I'm saying is, when I say elite quarterback, it's not a question of position of where he falls, top three, top four, top 10. He's a professional quarterback who will win you games by himself. He'll go out there and find a way to win you games. He's just head and shoulders better than the next guy. That's what I call an elite quarterback.
Oh, then I honestly don't think I couldn't put Matthew Stafford on that list because
I agree.
He didn't do it in Detroit.
Right.
He showed that he could win in Los Angeles, but this would be a big year for Matthew Stafford as far as going forward and becoming elite. Mac Jones can be elite.
He's not elite yet, but yes,
he's
can
elite.
Be.
That's why I said he can be
absolutely.
Elite.
Absolutely. I'm giving you – give me the guys – yep, go ahead.
Josh Allen is elite.
Absolutely.
Joe Burrow, I think, needs another year.
I agree. I would agree with that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Dak?
No.
I don't know. You
serviceable,
know
good quarterback.
Dak is a victim of circumstance in Dallas because the whole team has not lived up to expectations.
But here's the point, though. If you're an elite quarterback, you're making that you have had one of the best offensive line, one of the best receiving cores. You had three deep in that receiving core, and you had an elite running back, and you didn't make them better. Tom Brady makes that team better. Aaron Rodgers makes that team better. Joe Burrow makes that team better. I'm sorry.
But Ezekiel Elliott is not
not anymore. I'm talking 3-4 years ago. I'm just saying this. If you're that guy and you have surrounded by talent, where people said that was the best offensive line at one point, that was the best receiving core for the last 2 or 3 years, okay, great. How many big games did you win as the quarterback? That's why he's not elite. You're not telling me if Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, maybe Russell Wilson, maybe, but some of those other guys playing quarterback behind that thing wouldn't make that team better? I would disagree with you wholeheartedly. That's the difference. Yeah.
I don't know if I put Russell Wilson as an elite quarterback.
I wouldn't either. No, neither would I. I
definitely say he's a top 10 quarterback.
Right now, if Russell Wilson was playing 10 years ago with those other guys, I would not put him in the top 10 easily. Now, yeah, he's easily a top 10 quarterback, but it's a different level of top 10. It's almost like, you know, it's different. It's almost like, I'm trying to cut a good example. The level of talent is much different today, especially the quarterback level, than it was, let's say, 10 years ago.
Over here, let's do this real quick. Okay?
Sure, go ahead.
Take New Orleans.
Yep.
10 years ago, Drew Brees. Drew Brees versus Jameis Winston. Who are you taking?
Drew Brees.
Okay.
Easy.
Indianapolis. Peyton Manning. Who the fuck is over? Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan.
Okay, who are you taking? You're taking Matt Ryan over Peyton Manning?
Nope, no chance.